In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, today we celebrate this great feast of the Church, the Feast of the Epiphany. And yesterday was the 12th day of Christmas, which would indicate to us that Christmas is really at an end. But the Feast of the Epiphany is really a culmination of both the Advent season and the Christmas season. In Advent, we waited with expectation for the light to come into the darkness. And then at the Feast of the Nativity on Christmas Day, we celebrated the birth of Jesus, that the light was actually coming into the world and had come into the world. And now at the Feast of the Epiphany, we celebrate the revelation. The revelation that this small baby would come into the world to change the world. And Jesus was revealed as a small infant to the Magi that came from the East. Last week we spoke about, or I spoke about, thresholds and what they mean, and as we stood on the cusp of a new year, we were crossing a threshold, and that in that time we make resolutions and we might want to make things better for the year, in the year ahead, from what that has been in the year past. I also spoke about epiphanies and awakenings are points in our life which help us to make changes, where things are revealed to us that help us to reflect on our past and focus on the future and maybe on a new path, which all brings us to the crossroad. That when we have these revelations or we have these epiphany moments or these awarenesses, we are often faced with a choice about which road to follow. Revelation is one of the great aspects of God's love for us, but the whole of Scripture is essentially a revelation about the coming of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ came into the world and changed the world. Richard Niebuhr, who was a theologian of the 20th century who was based at Union Seminary on the Upper West Side, he likened revelation to that luminous passage in a book that describes or brings to light the essential essence of the book that you were reading. As we know, we read many novels and sometimes as well into the book before we really understand what the author is trying to get at. And these sort of luminous sentences or passages are what opens us up to understand both what has been written in the pages that preceded it, but also the sort of direction that the author is trying to get us to focus on. Where is he going or where is she going with the novel? Revelation comes to us if we're prepared to see it and to understand it. In the reading we had this morning from Isaiah was the prophecy that Isaiah had for those that were scattered in the diaspora, that had been taken into captivity in Babylon, and for those who were poor and left behind, who were missing the temple. And Isaiah's prophecy is this beautiful vision of the future, of what it would be like when everyone is called back to Jerusalem, the temple's restored, and the brightness of the Lord and the brightness of God will shine amongst them. In the reading from Ephesians, we also have Paul's writing to the Ephesians to tell them about who he is and about Jesus Christ. And he tells them that he has been the subject of a revelation. And as we all know, the famous story of him on the road to Damascus, where the bright light and the sound came upon him, and he was in the midst of a revelation, and a revelation of Jesus. Paul says as well that in the past, in the generations past, a lot of what they were talking about God was a mystery to many. And we know that, you know, that we had a lot of the prophets through the Hebrew Bible that tried to predict a better way of life and tried to interpret what God was saying to the people. But after Paul's revelation, he then had to change himself And when he regained his sight, we know that he went out into the desert to spend some time just with the experience to see how it would affect him and to see what his commission essentially was. He reminds us that the revelation that was given to him was given also to the Gentiles. It wasn't just the revelation of Jesus Christ, wasn't just for the Jews, it was for the Gentiles. And they were coming to know the power of God in the world. The gospel reading this morning has us as well focused on these foreigners that were coming in from the east. And these foreigners were, maybe they were wise, but it's unsure whether they were wise. We call them wise, but I think we've added that description to them. They may be kings as well, but more than likely they were priests. They were priests from the Zoroastrian sect, if you like. And part of their belief system was that God would reveal the coming of the Messiah through the stars. And they're essentially astrologers. And they would survey the stars each night to understand how God might be speaking to them. And so when this star, bright star, rose in the east, they were already alert that it meant something. And so they set off on their journey. You might all have a story of revelation or a story of this, an awakening that you've experienced at some point in your life, which has changed the correction or changed the course of your life. One such experience for me came in a dream that I had, and it was a recurrent dream that went on for maybe 10 or 15 years. In the dream, I was going up in an elevator in a building. Sometimes it was a stair, but most of the time it was an elevator. I think I had a particular fear of elevators, and that's why this was so prominent in the dream. But this elevator would take me to the top floor of a building, and as soon as I walked out on the top floor, I would get a sense that the building was falling, and I would fall to the ground and grip the floor so that I wouldn't fall off. And I would always wake up at that moment. And this happened, you know, every 6 or 8 months through all that time. Slightly different variations, but it was always a building, an elevator or a stair, and I would always fall to the ground, hanging on, gripping with my fingernails into the floor. In 1999, when I was part of a church in Sydney, I went on a parish retreat, and the rector's wife, who was a psychologist and a counsellor, held a session on interpreting dreams, and I was really attracted to it. And as I sat there, I recalled that I'd had this recurrent dream, and so I told the group about this dream. And we sort of talked around it and what it was like to have recurrent dreams and that sort of thing. But it wasn't until later in the afternoon when Margaret, who was the rector's wife, came to me and said, "I've been pondering this dream that you said you had. And I'm wondering if it doesn't have something to do with your commitment to faith." And then I thought about it. And I thought maybe it was the fact that I wasn't able to commit. I was scared. And I sensed that committing was falling out of control. And I didn't know what that was. And of course, a lot of this is just in my subconscious playing out. But as we know from dreams, a lot of the times it is important things that are happening in our subconscious that we have to pay attention to. And ever since that revelation that afternoon of Margaret's to my dream, I never had that dream again. Because I think it was exactly that. I was scared of committing to a life of following Christ. It was almost my second coming out that I had to reveal to my friends that I was now going to church every Sunday, and I was now a worshipper of God, and I was going to commit my life to the faith. So these revelations come to us at various times in our lives. And here we have in the story this morning the revelation of the Magi. As we know that the story that they came into Jerusalem looking for this baby, and they were told it was in Bethlehem, but they also were told, or they also were looking for the King of the Jews. They had an understanding. This was their expectation, that the King of the Jews had been born. Herod got wind of this tremendous threat that was going to rise up against him. He was the emperor, but the king could raise up the crowds against him and challenge him. And as we know, Herod had a fragile personality, I think. After this episode, we know that he went and killed all of the baby boys because he was threatened by this birth of this young child. And Herod says to the Magi that as they were heading out to find where Jesus was, if they could come back and report to him where he was, because he wanted to honour this new king and he wanted to go to them. As we know from the story, the Magi find the king. They find the babe in Mary's arms and they offer gifts, the gifts that they would carry in their treasure chests. But then we hear that they have a dream. And the dream that they have is another revelation. A revelation not to go back from whence they came, not to go back to Herod and to report what they'd found. But their dream was to go back to their homeland via a different way. This revelation was a choice that they had to make, to understand what had been revealed to them, but also to set out on a different path. And that is what we are faced with. When God reveals God's self to us, and especially as we ponder the baby Jesus at this time in our liturgical cycle, we are asked to make a choice of following. So what choice will you make? What choice will you make about who God wants you to be as a disciple for him out in the world? Will you put God first in your life? And will you open yourselves up so that God may reveal God's self to you and what God needs from you? Will you keep Jesus Christ as a gift for yourself, or will you offer Jesus as a gift for the world? Amen.